Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report underway. So glad you're with us on this Wednesday, this hump day. And, of course, tonight we've got high school baseball. Our first game of the 2019 spring season will be out at Mount Tabor Field in New Albany. Two rivals tonight, Floyd Central at New Albany, a Hoosier Hills Conference game. And, of course, both of those teams always in the front of high school baseball locally. We got some really good teams each year. Those two seem to be competitors and potential sectional championships every year. So looking forward to being at the ballpark tonight. Should be a beautiful day, a beautiful afternoon, and a beautiful evening. So if you're not having anything planned or don't have anything to do, we'd love to have you with us. And, of course, make sure you bring your earbuds along. You can listen to the pitch-by-pitch coverage whether you're at the game or not tonight. Lee Kelly will be with me. I know he's looking forward to it as well. So fun to get our coverage of baseball started. Basically, with high school baseball, we try to catch the big games, the meaningful rivalry games. We do the Hoosier Hills Conference tournament during the regular season. And, of course, we always do the 4A sectional at the end of the year. And from that point forward, we'll follow any local team from our area that is still advancing on in the state tournament. So we've got a reasonable amount of baseball ahead for you this spring and summer here on the Big X. Very enjoyable time to be out at some of these baseball games, and hope that you'll join us tonight for Floyd Central New Albany. I think right after that conclusion of that high school baseball game, we've got the Pacers tonight here on the Big X. So a busy sports night on this Wednesday. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany joining us on this Wednesday program. We'll start with segment one, our Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll take a look at the Indiana All-Stars, which were announced yesterday. Kobe Barnes of Floyd Central, as expected, was voted and named to the Indiana All-Stars roster. We'll talk about that. We'll take a look at some NBA draft stuff and some other headlines today as well, coming up in segment one just in a bit. Also, later in the program, Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com, he's scheduled to be with us, and plenty to talk about with Jeff. There's scholarships open at IU. The team is now in full off-season mode. Heck, college basketball as a whole is now in off-season mode. We'll talk about a lot of different topics with Jeff when he's with us today, college basketball, IU basketball, recruiting, and more. Also, I want to touch with him on the spring game. It's coming up Friday as well for IU football. Later in the program, we'll be joined, as always, on Wednesdays by Craig Pearson. He's the sports editor of the News and Tribune with us today, and we'll take a look at Floyd Central New Albany baseball tonight. When Craig is with us, we'll take a look at some other local sports topics as well when he joins us a little bit later in the show. That's the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham. You can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. And a lot to get to today. First off, we get ready for the baseball game tonight. We get ready for moving on with what I call life after basketball, at least regular season basketball, with the national championship game played out on Monday night. I did see this yesterday. I know yesterday we talked some about Kyle Guy, a lot about Kyle Guy yesterday on the program, but he was named most outstanding player of the Final Four, and I kind of went through some of the history of guys from the state of Indiana. Some had an IU connection, some didn't, that had won that award. Today, and this is something that came up recently with some buddies, is Indiana Mr. Basketballs. Who has went on that has won that coveted award from a state where basketball is as prominent as it is to actually win an NCAA championship. So looking at the list, and I'll start with the most recent, obviously, Kyle Guy from Lawrence Central in Virginia that won it just on Monday night. Before him, you'd have to go back to Tyler Zeller of Washington High School. He won a championship at North Carolina. Before him, Sean May, Bloomington North High School graduate, also at North Carolina when they won an NCAA championship. Before that, all the way back to Steve Alford, Newcastle with Indiana. Also Ray Tolbert, Madison Heights in Anderson, won a championship with IU. Kyle Macy, I forget he's from Indiana. He's a Peru, Indiana guy from up north. He won a national championship with Kentucky. Kent Benson at Newcastle won a championship with Indiana. And Ron Bonham of Muncie Central many years back won a championship with, I believe, Cincinnati. UC is the school listed with him. So, and there may be a couple others, but that was the list that I was able to put together. People were asking, you know, what Mr. Basketball products that our state produced have went on to have great success in college and which have reached the ultimate pinnacle of winning a national championship. So a noteworthy list of Mr. Basketballs who went on to find great success in the NCAA tournament, of course, culminating with a national championship. Yesterday, the Indiana All-Stars were announced for the summer of 2019. Again, the Indiana team will scrimmage against the Indiana Junior All-Stars. They'll also play one game at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, and they'll play one game in Louisville as well against the Kentucky All-Stars for this season. Locally, Kobe Barnes of Floyd Central, who averaged 25.3 points and 8 rebounds per game last year for the Highlanders, who were 21-3 on the season, he's the local interest, and it's great to see for another year, not just a Southern Indiana guy that's within a reasonable distance from us, but a guy right here named to the Indiana All-Star team, and Kobe Barnes, a very, very worthy winner of that award. I think he'll be a key player when you put all these guys together. I think he'll be a starter for sure for the team when you mix him in with some of the IU recruits that will be a very tough group for Kentucky to play against. I don't know the Kentucky roster at this point, or don't know that I'll even recognize a lot of names when it does come out, but I think this will be a really good group for Indiana that will play well together, that has talent, lots of talent, but will play well together. And obviously a little different from All-Star games when you play the Indiana-Kentucky series. It's not just a showcase type game. I guess some of that goes on at times, but it more so there's a lot of pride that exists. You actually, and I know it's been shortened and the series doesn't get the attendance maybe that it once did, especially on the Kentucky side of things. We've talked about this lots in the off seasons prior to this as well, and I'm sure we'll do it again this year, but the series is still meaningful. It's still, there are records kept. Indiana has gotten the best of Kentucky, especially lately, although Kentucky did win one last summer against the boys. And the series generally, I think, has evened out a little bit. But Indiana has had a long dominant stretch more recently than Kentucky has in this series. And it's a game where you see more defense. There's practices, there's preparations, there's even a little bit of scouting you see that goes on at times where the coaches are getting over watching the other team's exhibition games to get a feel for things. And it's just a game that matters, and it's meaningful. And I think when you have a guy like Kobe Barnes on the roster that obviously is capable of scoring, but in a team setting, if he needs to do other things as well, he's more than capable and I think more than willing as well to go that route with his All-Star designation this year. So that will be fun. Of course, Trace Jackson Davis of Center Grove, he will be a feature piece on the team as well. 6'9", he's a McDonald's All-American. He averaged 22 points right on the nose a game for Center Grove, 9.5 rebounds, just over 3 blocks per game, shot 61, almost 62% from the field for Center Grove, who won a regional and moved on to the semi-state before falling there to Ben Davis down in Washington. So Trace Jackson Davis, obviously, from an IU perspective, helps tie things together. It's always great when there is an IU interest in the All-Star game. Most years there is, although, you know, you go back to some of the players that got away during Tom Crean's final years. Obviously, a number of the Indiana All-Stars didn't go to Indiana, but with Romeo last year and, of course, Robert Fennessy, Demezi Anderson, a really solid IU presence on the roster last year. Trace Jackson Davis, I've already mentioned, Armand Franklin on the roster, and then, of course, put Kobe Barnes from a local perspective, along with a couple Purdue guys. And the good thing is, I think IU interest on the Indiana All-Star team, it helps the attendance. I mean, we all know that Indiana fans, in good times, in bad times, support the program. They follow recruiting closely. They want to see the future IU players in action, whether it's the old Derby game that used to be around or the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series. So an opportunity this summer locally to see Trace Jackson Davis and Armon Franklin, of course, Kobe Barnes. They will be playing over in Louisville for one game. It's June 7th. That's the game at Bellarmine. June 8th, the Saturday game, is at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. I know some of you have asked about getting tickets for that game. They're available now, at least for the Indiana side, at BankersLifeFieldhouse.com. I've not seen any announcement or any details on how to purchase tickets for the game. It's closer for folks, at least in southern Indiana, at Bellarmine. Other headlines today, we talked yesterday about how good the Big Ten Conference could be, should be, might be for the 2019-2020 college basketball season. But here's a note that's interesting. Michigan's top three scorers have declared for the NBA draft. Ignas Brazdeikis, Charles Matthews, Jordan Poole, all have made it clear that they are going to hire an agent and participate or hope to get drafted in the upcoming 2019 draft. And I guess this is something that I should mention, because I think I've said it wrong on the program a couple times when mentioning Romeo Langford, and obviously we know now he's headed to the draft. Will he hire an agent? Will he not hire an agent? I think the general school of thought from people that know a lot more than me is that he will hire an agent, but some of the new rules that have been put in place went into effect this year, and one of the rules as far as players that declare for the NBA, players are allowed to hire an agent, to have an agent, but still return to college if they go undrafted, which obviously I don't think we have to worry about Romeo Langford going undrafted. I think for sure 100% a first-round pick and probably middle of the first round, if not higher, when it's all said and done. But that is new. That is good. I like that rule, and it's will be interesting to see how it affects things for this year. But Michigan's top three, at least at this point, have declared for the draft, and it's going to be very interesting to see if any of those guys do come back. Some question marks there, I think, about for some of them at least, on where they could get selected. Football is beginning to become a little bit more important now, with the, at least to me, with the college basketball season wrapping up, and this Friday the IU spring football game will begin at 7:05 p.m. in Bloomington. If you've never been, it's a great evening. It's a fun game to see a 7 o'clock start. I think 7:05 is the actual start. It's on Big Ten Network if you can't make it. And there's free entry as well, which is great. But weather, I believe, is still going to be good on Friday. Still going to be fairly warm. And nothing like a spring football game. Kind of fun. You get an early look at the team. You get an early look at some of the new faces on the roster as well. And obviously there are some things to follow this offseason, not only with the quarterback race, but with some other positions as well for this IU football team. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. A reminder, we'll be at Mount Tabor Field in New Albany tonight, Floyd Central at New Albany, and we will be broadcasting that pitch-by-pitch coverage from a rivalry high school baseball game tonight. So we hope that as you're out and about, if you can't make it to the game, or even if you can, that you'll tune us in on your phone. Plenty of ways you can listen to the game, 1450 AM, 96.1 FM, streaming online from your phone, from your computer, BigXSportsRadio.com. We're in the TuneIn app as well. Plenty of ways to listen to the coverage tonight if you can't be at the game. Also, excited to tell you, and I think this will be fun tomorrow, we're going to have Kyle Getter on the program. He joined us previously when he was an assistant coach at Liberty before they played at Assembly Hall at IU. I think it was maybe two seasons ago. I can't remember. He now is on the Virginia coaching staff. Kyle is the director of recruiting and player development for Virginia. Of course, they're fresh off a national championship on Monday evening. He's from Miamisburg, Ohio, but he played basketball, got his undergraduate degree at Hanover College back in 2001, and has been a solid member of the Hanover community for a number of years, and is going to join us. Got a little connection to him locally, so look forward to finding out from someone on the Virginia staff what in the world it was like to go through that amazing run through the NCAA tournament, what it was like to coach Kyle Guy and to be around a player of that magnitude, what it was like to go through the Final Four, what it was like to win a national championship on Monday. Kyle will be great. I know he has a lot of great insight. He's definitely an up-and-coming guy that you can expect to move on from his director of recruiting player development position to a full-fledged assistant coach. I would think it's some Division I, maybe even high major Division I very soon, and perhaps a head coach in the future. But a young, bright guy in the college basketball world, again, was an assistant coach at Liberty. There's some connections there with those programs in Virginia. Made the transition to Virginia, working for Tony Bennett, Coach Bennett, and what a ride he's been on this season in the last couple weeks. So Kyle Getter, Virginia coaching staff, with us tomorrow on the program in the second half of the show. Really looking forward to catching up to him just to find out generally what's it been like to win a national championship and be around some of the great games that Virginia has been involved in throughout this tournament as well. So we'll do that tomorrow here on the Hoosier Report. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Jeff Rabjohns. He is scheduled to join us to talk IU basketball, college basketball, recruiting, might even work in a little bit of IU football in the spring game as well. Coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Wednesday program, unable to connect with Jeff Rabjohns today, so Ken Bykoff of Pigs.com, also the host of the Pigs podcast, with us in this segment to talk a lot of IU. We're going to talk some basketball, we're going to talk college hoops in general, and we're also going to squeeze in a little bit about IU football in the spring game, which is forthcoming on Friday evening. First, Ken, a headline I mentioned in the last segment: Trace Jackson Davis, Armon Franklin, and then locally, Kobe Barnes of Floyd Central, named to the Indiana All-Stars roster for a two-game series against the rival Kentucky All-Stars this summer, which is always fun. It's a little taste of some quality and still meaningful basketball in the offseason, but the Indiana All-Star games against Kentucky, always more enjoyable when there's a really good representation, I should say, from Indiana players, signees, recruits, and with Trace Jackson Davis at the top of that list and Armon Franklin, someone that's really come on in his senior year, that will add a lot more, I think, crowd to the games and also interest generally in the two-game series against Kentucky this summer.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, I mean, you hit it right on the head that when you have guys that are coming to Indiana, it just completely changes the way that IU fans view those games because all of a sudden they're paying attention. They know that it means a lot to both groups of players because, look, you know, with AAU and everything, these guys, they run into each other on the AAU circuit. So now here it is. Here's the a chance for a bunch of guys to play together and get an opportunity to play for that name on their chest with a meaningful thing because, you know, years pass and you hear guys talk about playing in those games, those Indiana All-Star games, and how they fared that year and had bragging rights over this guy or that guy. So it is absolutely meaningful to those players. And, again, for a guy like Trace Jackson Davis, he's played in a number of these things. Armon Franklin, it just is another sign that he has developed at a much faster rate than I think people maybe expected, but it also shows that it just kind of the way Archie Miller was able to view his trajectory, the kid is really turning up his game, and I think that it's just a huge positive for him to gain this experience even more.
Absolutely, and it's good to see, at least from everything we know at this point, that it looks like Trace Jackson Davis, Armon Franklin, and others that were announced yesterday in the Indianapolis Star story announcing the team will be able to play. You know, Ken, there were a couple of years, and I mentioned this yesterday, we were talking about Virginia and Kyle Guy winning the championship. Kyle didn't get to play as Mr. Basketball, and I think it was the game at Bellarmine, the one in Louisville, because the series kind of had some conflicts with kids leaving for college, and they had to be in on Sunday so they could be settled to start summer school, which is a requirement for athletes in most cases, I think in all cases now. And so it really affected the game. There was a number of years where even on both sides, some key players were missing for whatever reason from the game. But last year, obviously, Romeo, a lot of the IU guys, in addition to him, all were able to participate in the game, and it looks like this year that will be the case as well. It's better when you're Mr. Basketball, your better players are there. It obviously makes the series more meaningful, and it's something that's traditional, and I know over the years it's lost maybe some fanfare, but when those two teams get on the court, it's my favorite off-season basketball weekend because it's meaningful. You're not just, yeah, you want to showcase your skills, and if you can get a great dunk, you're obviously going to do that to woo the crowd and that sort of thing. But at the end of the day, there's still a ton of pride on the line between these two guys. They're coached by high school coaches who have some pride within their state, and they feel some responsibility to the other coaches and the fans in their state as well. It's just a scenario in an all-star setting that still really means something. I guess what it is, there's something to play for in this.
Yeah, and you know, and guys treat it as such, and I think that that's a good thing. You know, you see like the McDonald's game, and it's just a highlight reel or a chance to do that. And I think that in this one, because it is a two-game situation, I think they take it more seriously, and they it means something. And it could be for a lot of these guys one of those last opportunities to just play basketball for fun without having, future considerations, as part of the equation, to where you get to college and, okay, you're not going to be playing in those kind of games anymore. But even at that, there's always a look to the future and a look to, what you might have coming next in terms of a pro career, if you want to play, how hard you want to play, all that. You're moving on to college, but this is your last opportunity to play high school ball and play and show that you're the best among that group of guys on the court. And I think that's why guys maybe take it a little bit more seriously than they do at other times.
Talking with Ken Bykoff of Pigs.com on this Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. All right, the next subject I want to bring up, Bob Knight, back in Bloomington over the weekend for an IU baseball game with his old friend, the legendary sports writer in Bloomington, Bob Hamill. First off, Ken, you've been around IU, the campus, sports, men's basketball, for many, many years. What's your reaction to seeing, to hearing, however you took it in, that Bob Knight was back on the campus at a game in the press box with some IU faculty or IU staff as he was escorted in? What were your thoughts? What do you make of that?
Well, I know a lot of people were very excited about that, and we're happy to see him on campus. I know that certainly just from a thawing out situation, I think it's good in terms of what it means, to IU basketball and all that. I don't think it means much, to be honest with you. I mean, look, the man's been gone for 20 years. He has not been great to IU during that time, and the fact that he was on campus and all that, that's great. It's a really nice story, but I just don't know that it's going to have a long-term impact. If he wanted to do that, he could have come back with his 76 team. He could have come back when they honored some different things. But it is certainly better than not that he was here, and I understand why people are excited for it and say, hey, it'd be great to have him come back into the fold. And certainly, that whether it gets to that point remains to be seen, but a first step has to be taken at some point. Certainly Indiana has over the years repeatedly reached out to him, and he has declined it. He's going to do anything, if there is anything, he's going to do it his own way. And I'm pretty happy that he took that first step, but in the grand scheme of things, will it mean anything? I really don't know. And, as a program, I feel it's important for IU to just move on and understand that whatever happens is going to happen. But in terms of day-to-day process for the basketball program or what it can mean long-term, I don't know that it has a huge impact outside of maybe feeling making some fans feel warm and fuzzy.
Absolutely. Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com, our guest. One more thing on Bob Knight, and I know that he's elderly. I know that he was at Center Grove on Thursday, and it was, you know, clear from, and I wasn't there, but clear from the Indianapolis Star report that, you know, he had some struggles at times recalling some details and maybe some memories. But yesterday, I believe it was, or maybe Monday, but definitely over the last couple of days on the Dan Patrick Show, Dan mentions that he's heard from people. I have no idea who his sources are, that Bob Knight may be moving back to Bloomington. Don't you find that crazy at this point? You kind of mentioned it, and again, you never know a person's health and how that can affect things, so I want to obviously be very respectful of that and very aware of that, but don't you find it interesting that just a few, what, how many months ago has it been, year, the 76 team was honored with former great players, all that he coached, all that love him, all that still have a connection with him, and he doesn't come back for what could have been just a memorable night in Assembly Hall, and has made comments on the Dan Patrick Show and other places as well that he really has no interest in coming back. But then all of a sudden, there are rumors now that Dan Patrick is sharing where he might be moving to Bloomington. Just kind of a bizarre thing, I think.
Yeah, you know, and you know, people's motivations are what they are, and he certainly doesn't owe us any kind of explanations for, you know, what he wants to do or where he wants to live. I've heard those same types of rumors, you know, from people who that I trust. But you know, it is interesting. But as you know, people get older, and you know, some attitudes can change, and you know, there's people soften. I've seen it. You know, I saw it with my own parents as they aged. And so, you know, who knows? But, you know, certainly the fact that he was in town certainly made people happy, made them excited that he came out to the baseball game and was part of that. And even if it never goes beyond that, you know, it still was just an opportunity for people to understand that maybe that the ice is has thinned a little bit at the very least. And you know, it's an interesting development to say the least. You know, what it means in the grand scheme of things, I just want, you know, again, like you said, clearly that video, you want to be respectful. The video that you saw from the Indianapolis Star really kind of shows that, you know, he is maybe not as sharp as he once was, you know, that's okay. And that's just a fact of aging. And sometimes you just start to let go of some of the stuff that bothered you before, and hopefully that's the case.
Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com, also host of the Pigs podcast. He's with us in place of Jeff Rabjohns on this Wednesday edition of the program. We've talked with Jeff. We've talked with Mike. We've talked with others on this show, Ken, about the scholarship openings that Indiana has. Obviously, Romeo Langford to the NBA, two transfers. Have announced that they will leave the program, enter the NCAA transfer portal, and look to play Division I basketball elsewhere for the remaining years they have of eligibility. We've talked with those guys, your friends, your coworkers, about some of the names that could potentially fill those scholarships, whether it's a graduate transfer or two, or whether it's still open spots in the 2019 recruiting class of guys that are finishing up their school years and really getting ready to graduate here soon. I guess along those same lines, not talking about specifics unless you want to, as far as names that could fill those scholarships, now that you've kind of had time to decompress from the college basketball season, from the IU season, and maybe even since Indiana's been eliminated, you've had a chance to see Texas Tech make their great run to the championship game for second place. You've had the opportunity to watch Virginia and some of their classic battles along the way, and maybe take in kind of more from the college basketball landscape as a whole. So with what you saw from Indiana this year, with what you've seen generally in the college basketball world and how things are being done successfully right now, what's the Ken Bykoff feeling for these open scholarships? What direction would you like to see Indiana go? What do you think the biggest need or two is with this team, with the roster, for what we know for next season?
Well, certainly, you know, you want to add somebody who can give you some size inside. You know, Deron Davis is there, and that's great. But, you know, you're losing Clifton Moore, you're losing Juwan Morgan to graduation. And so you want to add some size. And Trace Jackson Davis certainly helps that and helps with the depth. But you want to continue to have that, and that's why I think you know, all the talk about Joey Brunk from Butler is so interesting because it seems like he'd be a nice fit. You know, you have Romeo that's headed to the NBA, which isn't unexpected. You know, Jake Forrester decides that he's going to go into the transfer portal as well and kind of look around at some things. You know, there could still be some more movement. I don't know of any, but there could still be some more. Normally, it takes a little while. Guys will make a decision after a semester, so we'll see if there's any more changes. But, I mean, any way you look at it, Indiana's going to have quite a bit of turnover when you're talking about Romeo being gone and Clifton Moore and Jake Forrester. Those are three guys that were scheduled to be back who aren't going to be. And guys like Morgan and Fitzner and Zach McRoberts, you know, they're already are gone to graduation. You had five guys on senior night. So it's a significant chunk of the roster. Now, what this provides, though, is an opportunity for Archie Miller to reshape the roster very quickly and by bringing in guys that fit what he wants to do. And to me, that's been the biggest problem the past couple of years is you had guys on the roster that were recruited with a certain mentality and a certain mindset to play a certain way. And then Indiana's coaching change made it so that there was a 180-degree change in what was being emphasized and what those players are being asked to do. And not everybody seems to have bought in. That's why far too often last year you saw five guys on the floor individually instead of playing as a team. And when they did play as a team, Indiana was decent. When they didn't, you had games like you had in Minnesota. So I think that chemistry and pieces fitting is going to be very important to this reshaping of the roster. And so when you're looking at the grad transfers and the portals and all that kind of stuff, it's going to be important to bring in guys that could both fit needs that Indiana has, like scoring, like the size inside, somebody who can just be a little bit more dynamic with the ball in his hands. That's going to be important. And just making sure that you balance the classes so that every couple of years you're not going through a rebuilding process because you have, you know, you're losing five or six seniors. So it is a balancing act, to say the least, but this is really the first opportunity that Archie Miller has been given to reshape the roster fully with, you know, considering the APR issues that Indiana previously was facing. This is really his first opportunity to kind of reshape things the way that he wants them, and so I think Indiana has an opportunity to really set a good foundation for the future if they get this offseason right.
We're talking with Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com, and host of the Pigs podcast. Ken, you follow football as well at IU fairly closely, very closely, I should say, and this Friday, 7 o'clock, free entry. It's also on the Big Ten Network, the IU spring game. What are some things to watch for a fan maybe that's getting geared back up for football now that the basketball season has come to an end when you think about IU football for next season?
Well, I know that people are really excited about what they've seen from the defense. I think that that's something that seems like it's poised to take a step forward with so many young guys who played last year that are going to be able to step into bigger roles this year and just another year in that system. I think it's going to be great to see a guy like Cam Jones is going to have an opportunity to really be a star, I think, this year. And then offensively, it's just all about the quarterbacks. And there's not going to be a ton of views of the quarterbacks, considering that, you know, a guy like Jack Tuttle or Mike Penix, it's not live action. I mean, they're not taking contact. But certainly the depth at the most important position in sports is going to be critical. When it comes to, you know, that three-headed monster of Michael Penix and Jack Tuttle and Peyton Ramsey, it's going to be interesting to see that. And then also just how the offensive line gets through things. But the key, really, Matt, is just the spring game is an opportunity to see some skills rather than performance. You know, how a guy moves, you know, how crisp are his routes that he's running, because if you have the offense looks good, is it because the offense looks good or because the defense is struggling and vice versa? So to me, it's really just about seeing those individual skills and how maybe they have changed, if at all, from last fall. And, you know, the practices have been upbeat. There seems to be a good vibe around the program. And it's just a matter of now being sure that you get through the spring game, put on a good show, and keep everybody healthy so that you could get into the the summer really feeling as good as you can possibly can.
Absolutely. Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com, and host of the Pigs podcast with us in place of Jeff Rabjohns on this Wednesday show. Ken, it's always great to catch up. Look forward to having some more conversations with you here over the off season and into the summer, and very much appreciative of your time.
I appreciate it. Anytime. Take care.
And again, Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com, our guest. I just saw this as Ken was finishing up from Jeff Goodman. As far as guys, NBA from the Big Ten, Ohio State's Caleb Wesson has announced that he will declare for the draft and at least go through the process as well, which is very interesting and would be obviously a big loss for the Ohio State program if he stays in that process and goes to the 2019 draft. So another name from the Big Ten Conference that could affect things for next year one way or the other, if he's back or not, that obviously was a big player, a big part of their team this season. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, our final segment will be with Craig Pearson. He's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. We'll talk some local stuff. Kobe Barnes makes the All-Star team, the first Indiana All-Star for Floyd Central since the great Pat Graham back, I think, 1989 the year. So big stuff for Kobe Barnes. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about tonight's Floyd Central-New Albany High School baseball rivalry game, which will be live right here on the Big X Sports Radio if you can't make it out to Mount Tabor Field in New Albany as well, and other things. So stay with us. Local sports with Craig coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Wednesday program. Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is with me on Wednesdays. We always talk a lot of local sports headlines. In fact, a lot of what we talk about either has been or will be written about and covered by the News and Tribune, Craig and his sports team. And you can read that coverage at newsandtribune.com/sports. And you can follow him on Twitter as well, at @NewsTribScores. Craig, great to have you with us.
My pleasure.
College basketball is over. High school basketball is over. Thankfully, we got the notification yesterday. The Indiana All-Stars have been selected. Of course, for listeners of this program that are IU fans, Trace Jackson Davis and Armon Franklin are really two of the top guys, I think, on that roster. And locally, someone else that I think will have a great summer and a great experience going through this and really help the team is Kobe Barnes of Floyd Central. Another year and another local player for us that will be involved in that Indiana-Kentucky series, which is always a lot of fun.
Absolutely. in talking to Kobe, I know he seems genuinely excited to take part in this. He had played in those North-South and East-West All-Star games last weekend and did really well. And so, I think that style of game fits him well, probably, and it'll be interesting to see how he can, assert himself and blend in with the it's always a very talented all-star team from Indiana. So, I'm no exception this year. So it's going to be fun to see him in person and see how he can do in that game.
He's got some big shoes to fill from an all-star perspective because the last Highlander to make the Indiana All-Stars was Pat Graham, who went on to have a great career at Indiana, who's one of my favorite people to have on this program to reminisce about his time here in Southern Indiana and in Bloomington as well. But he obviously was a great Indiana All-Star and was Mr. Basketball in his senior class as well. So Kobe representing the Floyd Central brand and I think has some big shoes to fill in that game, those pair of games this summer.
Yeah, I look forward to meeting Pat sometime, by the way. I grew up a big IU fan, and so those early those late 80s, early 90s teams were huge for my basketball development as a kid and everything. So, but yeah, Kobe, like you said, that's a long break without an all-star, absolutely. And, I think, Kobe's obviously had a great career here, and I was lucky enough to catch the tail end of it. And, as a you know, I think it's just a great transition, the All-Star experience, from all accounts, from people, the athletes that I've covered through the years, and as they kind of transition into the summer and into their college careers. And I hope it'll be the same for Kobe as he becomes an Indiana State Sycamore. And I think he's going to fit in really well with that team, by the way. You know, the Sycamores kind of trailed off at the end of the year this past year, but they've got a lot of young talent, and I think Kobe will, you know, has the type of personality that'll help him fit in really well with that group of guys, and I look forward to following that.
Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is with us today on the program. All-Star games are fun. The local ones that you mentioned, Kobe had some big outings here over the weekend, scoring a lot of points, a lot of dunks, a lot of exciting moments. They are kind of showcase games, I call them, where there's not a lot of defense played, and really there's not a lot of preparation. Maybe they have one practice before they play that morning, but the Indiana-Kentucky games, you know, there's some preparation to it. There's an exhibition game. There are some days of practice. They go two a day to get things started and make sure they are all on the same page and know what they're doing, generally doing offensively and defensively as well. So much different, I think, of an experience, more of a full experience for the players that make the Indiana-Kentucky game on both sides with a lot of pride there. So yeah. I like any kind of basketball. It's great to see our local kids get the opportunity to be showcased, but those are the ones that really count.
You know, yeah, what are your thoughts on this All-Star team, you know, as far as maybe how it stacks up against recent teams and that sort of thing? What are you interested in seeing from this team this year?
From the Indiana team?
Yeah.
I mean, I think, first off, Trace Jackson Davis is going to have huge roles to fill at Indiana for next season, and this is his chance to kind of show against other good competition that he's ready to embark on that journey. I think there's a lot of question marks with IU, and can Armon Franklin earn playing time for the Hoosiers next year? So from an IU perspective, you got those two guys to follow. And then from a local perspective, I just want Kobe to do well and continue to represent our area in the way that he has, and the way that Romeo did, and the way that other all-stars from this area have. I don't think that Southern Indiana always gets a fair shake when it comes to the Indiana All-Star team, boys and girls, seniors and juniors, other awards maybe as well. So I think you got to take advantage when you get somebody on there and you want them to do well and you know, be very productive.
Yeah, I wonder if all corners of the state kind of have that feeling sometimes, because Central Indiana and Indianapolis obviously is a hotbed for talent and does well in these in getting all-star selections. But yeah, I mean, and the other thing that crosses my mind is, like you said, there's been a strong run from Southern Indiana of having all-stars and from the area. And when you look at the next few years, you know, will we have another all-star next year or the year after that? You know, there's obviously some good candidates there.
Yes,
and,
yes.
You know, I guess Trey Coleman being a junior all-star would be the guy that comes to mind for next year as a possibility. If he really puts in a lot of work and keeps improving his game, he would have a chance. And, you know, the Silver Creek guys who have, you know, big-time potential and are very hard workers, you know, I don't think I'm putting unfair expectations on them. They certainly have those type of goals. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see how that plays out the next couple of years.
Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune. You can read about a lot of the things we're talking about at newsandtribune.com/sports. Big high school baseball game tonight. But before we even talk about Floyd Central and New Albany, there was a big one last night as far as a big win for one of our local teams. Silver Creek, who's had obviously great success in baseball the last few seasons and is expected to have another good year. Last night they beat Trinity in Louisville, who is always one of the top programs in baseball, not just in Louisville, but in the entire state of Kentucky and really in the Midwest area. Big win for Silver Creek.
Right. Yeah, our correspondent Kyle Williams covered that for us, and you know, you can find that story on newsandtribune.com with some great photos from Joe Ulrich as well. But, yeah, like you said, Trinity looks like they have a gorgeous ballpark, new ballpark, by the way. And you know, they're ranked in the top five in Kentucky. And the Dragons are just on a roll, though. They've kind of hit their stride here of late and won six in a row. And, you know, they were, what, the 3A runner-up last year. And looks like they're poised to do pretty well again. you know, just good to see. Like we talked last week, some of these baseball teams, you know, we weren't really sure who's emerging, but I think a lot of these teams are picking up steam. New Albany's certainly hitting its stride, and you know, Jeffersonville's playing very well as well, and look forward to seeing Floyd Central tonight against New Albany, and that should be a fun rivalry game. Providence has also won several in a row, and they beat this Trinity team as well. So, you know, they're certainly a team to watch, and they'll be a tough out for anybody in the postseason.
And tonight, Floyd Central, New Albany, first pitch at 7 o'clock. We'll be live on the Big X. I know you guys will be covering the game for Thursday's paper as well. That's a fun one. Those two teams, obviously, in any sport when they hook up, it's a big deal. You'll see a bigger crowd tonight than normal for a Wednesday night baseball game. And if, on top of everything else, the weather is supposed to be great, it looks like, today. Very comfortable to be out there tonight for this game. So a good one. It's for us the start of our baseball coverage, kind of a rivalry game. And it's also, I think, for many ways for these teams early on. And for our area, kind of one of the games early on that tell you what to expect maybe down the road and gives you an early look at the 4A sectional when New Albany and Jeff hook up here. I think next week you'll get even a better read. But looking forward to tonight's game and just to being back at the ballpark.
Yeah, very impressed from what little I've seen so far from the area baseball programs, and very excited to really get to know some of these players and coaches a little better. And, you know, yeah, like you said, tonight's a good opportunity for that. I think from what I've not seen Floyd Central play, but it sounds like they've got a talented team that, you know, could come together and be a force, like you said, come sectional time. And looking forward to it. You know, you can't beat the weather so far. We're probably going to jinx it and end up with, a bunch of rainouts next week or something. But, it's been absolutely gorgeous, and looking forward to covering that game tonight.
Absolutely. And, again, the baseball season, all of spring sports really goes so doggone quick. It starts here within the last, 3 weeks or so. And by the end of school, you're getting into sectionals and, of course, regionals right after that. And before you know it, high school sports for the year or for the school year will be over. So it's a quick season, and it seems to really move through quickly. So it's going to be fun to follow some of the things that happen here over the next, really, I guess, 2 months of the season. And then it's basically a wrap.
Right. I mean, I've gotten a good glimpse of some of the other sports this spring. The track and field scene is pretty impressive. You know, we got some individual athletes that could and hope to contend for state titles with Christian Academy's Caleb Futter and some high jumpers from both Jeff and New Albany. So, you know, just very impressed by the overall athleticism around these sports, and tennis as well, with Providence hoping to get back to the state finals and Floyd Central having a heck of a team as well. Like you said, we'll be closing down the school year, the school sports year, with our Natsby Awards coming up not too long, and we'll be nailing down our boys and girls basketball all-area teams here in the next week or two, and look forward to bringing those to you at newsandtribune.com, and it's going to be fun to put those together, and as well as wrestling and swimming. So looking forward to recognizing a lot of good athletes here in the area.
You mentioned the Natsby Awards that's always put on by the News and Tribune. It's, if you've never been or never had a friend or an athlete that's been part of that selection process and that award ceremony, it's a first-class night to kind of put a cap on the high school sports season each year here in Clark and Floyd counties, and just a tremendous night. I know we're looking forward to being involved with that, having some fun with it, and had some meetings on that last week. And I think each Wednesday here in the next couple weeks, as we get closer to that, maybe the next month or so, we're going to kind of be talking about each of the different categories, the different awards that are given that night. And there are a lot of other things that go along with the program that make it a very neat environment for of the participants, and we'll be there broadcasting live, talking to a lot of the athletes as well. So look forward to hearing more from you on that. We look forward to being there live with you. We'll broadcast not only some pre-coverage from that event live, but we'll cover the ceremony. We'll have the broadcast for listeners that maybe can't get out but want to hear who wins some of these awards. So we'll have some fun with that over the next few weeks.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that. You know, one thing is, you know, we'll, as we get closer here, we'll have a little bit of an announcement as well. With we'll have some new awards and some new athletes that we're looking to recognize. And just one of those will be like a clutch award that I'm looking forward to diving into. You know, we had some great game-winning shots from basketball and that sort of thing that'll be big candidates to win that award. And I'm sure we'll have some clutch performers here in the spring, whether some game-winning home runs and that sort of thing that in big games that we'll look forward to seeing and describing. So yeah, it's just going to be it's obviously going to be my first experience with the Natsby Awards, and you know, it seems like a great way to kind of cap off a school year for what's an amazing area for high school sports.
Absolutely. Craig Pearson, sports editor with the News and Tribune. He's always with me on Wednesday. We talk local sports headlines, and a lot of what we talk about, it's either available now or will be at newsandtribune.com/sports from Craig and Josh and the News and Tribune sports team. Before we go, thoughts on Virginia, Mr. Basketball, Kyle Guy, national championship, one of the best NCAA tournaments that I can remember.
Yeah, there were people that kind of dogged this Final Four field, but, you know, I think it was an excellent field, you know. Just Texas Tech, what a bunch of bulldog players. That I loved that team. You know, Virginia, gosh, they were down in all four of their last four tournament games and pulled out wins in the final seconds. Just very memorable NCAA tournament this year.
Craig, thanks for being with us. That wraps things up for this Wednesday show. Back tomorrow at 11 right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.